I understand that the staff is considering questions of Jesus each morning in your devotions, maybe very briefly, but you've been given a staff devotional, and each morning there's a question to consider. I've been doing that in my Thursday night Bible studies. As soon as Brother Eddie said that that would be the theme for camp, something clicked in my heart, and I thought, that's a good thing to look into. What was the first question that we read in the Bible that Jesus ever asked? Who knows? First question Jesus ever asked, recorded in the Bible. I don't know the first question he ever asked. Luke.
Adam, are you there?
Oh, well, that's that's very theological. That's way in the book of Genesis, right? I'm thinking of, and maybe it was Jesus that said that. I don't know. Could have been. But in the New Testament, come on, it's not a hard question. I know you know Brother Dale.
He said, didn't you know that I must be about my father's business?
Right, yeah. Yeah, he was 12 years old at the time. My son Kenny will be 12 years old, the 25th of July. So look at Kenny and imagine Jesus that age. And then look at me and Lily and imagine us leaving him alone in Jerusalem for 3 days or so. They sought him, and there, the Bible doesn't tell you what he ate, where he slept, who took care of him. You know, you've got all those questions. But finally they find him. And the temple was not evidently the first place they looked for him. If they would have, they would have found him right away. He said, how is it that you were seeking for me? Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? Another translation says, don't you realize that I have to be in my father's house? That's very telling. Here Jesus, at 12 years old already, has experienced a revelation of his father and some degree of understanding of the purpose that God had over his life. It seems that Jesus grew into this as he sought God, as he meditated in Scripture, as he spent time in his Father's house. God began to reveal himself and his purpose in the life of Christ. Now, these are mysteries that are hard for us to get hold of. But we know because of that, that God can reveal himself to young people and children. That's why we have a pilgrim camp, because we believe that. That God makes himself known and in a very real way. Children can experience the touch of God. They can know the love of Christ. They can sense the presence of Jesus in their lives, even though they're young. And God can turn their hearts in his direction. And as they grow, that there's something in them that seeks to know him better and understand his ways and so on. Many of us here can testify to that. When was the first time you experienced Jesus' touch in your life in a very real way? Can you remember that? How far back that was? How old you were at that time? Was it here at Pilgrim Camp? Was it in your home church? Was it praying by your bedside with a parent or something? It's good for us to think about that. But you know, we didn't stay there. Jesus continued to reveal himself and continued to draw us to himself. And he will do that throughout our lives. There's always more of Jesus that we can know, and he can make himself more and more real and precious to us. But let's not minimize what God could do in the lives of children. The children sitting here in this meeting. God wants to touch them. God wants to begin something very precious in their hearts and put a cry in their heart to know him and to do his will. I found that in my life growing up, that as a young boy, I experienced the touch of God here and there. And that began to direct, God used that to direct my life to reach out and seek God's will for my life. Lord, you have a purpose. You brought me here for a reason. And Lord, I want to know that. I don't want to miss that. And I learned to pray that way. I was encouraged to do so. And looking back, I see how there were times I was aware of it, and many times, most of the time, I wasn't. But God was directing, God was bringing opportunities my way and opening doors and Sometimes I had an idea to go in this direction, and God didn't let that work out, but he moved me in a different direction. And we see that God, he causes his plan to unfold in our lives. And the sooner we get started, the better. What's the last question that Jesus asked on earth before he went to heaven? Got a lot of blank faces here tonight.
Was it when Jesus asked the disciples, whom do the people say that I am?
No, okay, that was close toward the end there, but I don't think that was the one. Minerva?
Why hast thou forsaken me?
Okay, that's good, but he still came back to earth. It's closer. Yeah. Maybe I'm not being clear enough. Maybe the last question he asked while he was physically present here on earth after his resurrection. How's that? Do you love me? In the Lord, I do, yes.
No.
That Jesus asked that. That's a good one. I think there's one even after that in John 21. How about, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And who did Jesus say that to? Jesus spoke that to Peter, right? When he was asking about the Apostle John. What's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Interesting, and I'm sure there's much we could say about that. But I have a few minutes, and I'm going to talk about the one that you read this morning. And that's found somewhere in the Bible. Let me see. It's found in Matthew chapter 11, the same chapter from which the verse comes, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, and it's verse 7 there. The title that was given in the devotional was, what are you looking for? And in Matthew chapter 11, the chapter begins with disciples of John the Baptist coming to Jesus and asking him, are you he that should come, or should we be looking for someone else? That's interesting. Here, John the Baptist is now in prison, and he doesn't have much longer to live. Things look pretty dark for him. And he had preached and pointed people to Christ. And now he's getting to the end, and he begins to question, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? Now, that's strange to us, that John would ask that question. And maybe considering the situation John found himself in, we might be able to understand that a little bit better. But Jesus says, go back and tell John the things you've seen. And that the blind are receiving their sight, the lame are walking, and the lepers are cleansed, and so on. And it seems as though Jesus is referring back to Isaiah 35, where it speaks of the ministry of the Messiah, and indicating that he is fulfilling that call. And then Jesus turns to his disciples, some who may have overheard that conversation and may have been wondering about John the Baptist, and Jesus says to them, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? This is verse 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? Three times he asked that, doesn't he? What did you go out to see when you were drawn to out into the wilderness to hear the preaching of John the Baptist? And here Jesus now puts his approval or commendation upon the ministry of John. And he talks about the fact that if you went out to see a prophet, I'm telling you, John was much more than a prophet. He's the one that the Old Testament wrote about, or was written about in the Old Testament. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, he shall prepare the way before thee. I say unto you, among them that are born of women, I guess that would be everybody, right? There has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That's quite a statement. John was more than a prophet, and among all those that were ever born, there's not a greater one than John the Baptist. You know, we think of Moses, the great call of God over his life and how faithful he was to that call. And we think of Isaiah, and we think of so many in the Old Testament, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he says, among all of them, none of them were greater than John. John was right up there with the rest of them. And we understand that John the Baptist seemed to have an understanding of Christ and his ministry that even the Old Testament prophets didn't have. They had little glimpses in their writings, you could see there, little glimpses of the Messiah, of when he would be born, where he would be born, how he would minister, maybe something about his death. But none of the prophets painted the full picture of the Messiah that John did. John was actually present when the Messiah was here on earth, the one that they had been waiting for thousands of years. Now he's there. And John tells them, he's among you. He's right here with us. And he has the privilege of baptizing Jesus, and he refers to him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He seemed to understand something of his sacrificial ministry, that he was going to lay down his life for the sin of the world. He understands that Jesus is more than a man, that he is God himself. John says, before I was, he was. Now, naturally speaking, John was born about 3 months before Jesus was born here on earth. But John says, no, he was before me. John understood that he is eternal. And so John had a good understanding, or fuller understanding, of who Christ was and what he had come to accomplish. And he had the privilege of preparing the way. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And in order for you to enter into that kingdom, you have to repent. This kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom of the heart. And that's where Christ wants to reign. And that's where we need to make right with God. And so Jesus certainly spoke very highly of John the Baptist, and didn't want there to be any doubt in anybody's mind concerning him. The Bible tells us that after John was killed, that immediately Jesus got away into a solitary place with his disciples. He realized what a loss to the world this taking of John the Baptist was. And yet it seemed that John had fulfilled his call, his purpose, and so God was now ready to take him home. He didn't have to live to be 80, 90, 100 years old. God takes us home when we finish our work, and he has a different call over each of our lives. We see that as we read the Bible. He never deals with people exactly the same way. But here Jesus not only uses this opportunity to commend John to the people, but he asks them a question that searches their own hearts. He addresses their motive. He says, what did you go out to see? What were you looking for? Were you looking for a reed shaken in the wind? You know, you see these reeds that grow up along the river, and when the wind blows to the west, they bow down to the west. And when the wind shifts and blows to the east, they bow to the east. And wherever the wind blows, that's the direction that they bend. You know, there are a lot of people like that. Whatever's the popular opinion, that's the direction they move. We have a lot of politicians that way. They were for it before they were against it, right? We call them flip-floppers, right? They're always changing their mind depending on what's popular and what the people expect of them and how they can get the most votes. And he said, you know, was that what you were looking for in John? John was just bending with popular opinion and telling you what you want to hear. John, if that's what you were looking for, you weren't going to find that in John. He wasn't out there to tell you what you wanted to hear. He wasn't trying to start a seeker-friendly church. He didn't go into the neighborhood and poll and find out what people like and don't like and what they want in church and don't want, and then design his church around that. We know that's become very popular in recent years. He told people what they needed to hear. He spoke the truth of God without compromise. And it cost him his life, but he was true to his convictions. And he preached the word that God had given him, whether it was popular or not. And then he said, did you go to see a king dressed in soft raiment? Someone who was just living for this world and the pleasures of this world and someone that could teach you how to be successful and how to enjoy all that the world has to offer and how to advance and become successful and so on. He said, well, if that's what you were looking for, you found the wrong person in John. He wasn't living for this world. He wasn't interested in the fashions and the trends and the things of this world. He wasn't seeking for place or power, position or prestige. He was a man that was sold out for God, living for God's glory. And there were few like him. And so he said, so what did you go out to see? What are you looking for? Did you recognize that John was a man of God preaching the truth? What did you think of him? Did he meet your expectations? You know, toward the end of this chapter, Jesus says, what will we liken this generation to? He said, this generation is like a bunch of children in the market. We played for you when you didn't dance. We played a dirge for you when you didn't mourn. He said, your expectations of what God's kingdom is all about is totally misguided. You're looking for the wrong thing entirely, and as a result, you're missing what God is doing. And you're not benefiting by what God is doing. He said, when John didn't eat or drink, and you said he had a devil. And I came and mixed with people and ate in their homes and so on. And you said there was something wrong with me too. We couldn't eat. We couldn't meet your expectations, because your expectations are different than what God wants for you. And so I want to ask the question in the few minutes I have left. Why did you come to Pilgrim Camp? Why did you go up into the mountain to Pilgrim Camp? What were you looking for? You know, if we're looking for the wrong thing, we're going to miss what God is doing in the midst. But if we say, Lord, open my eyes and help me to understand what it is that you're after in my life, what's important to you at this time, what are you trying to say to me? What are you doing in our midst? And how can I enter into that? You can go home changed. People come to church for all different reasons. Sometimes it's just to see other people. Sometimes it's to see a good show. You know, some churches can put on quite a performance. Some people go to church for the music. Well, okay, it's good to have great music. It's great to meet good people. But Is that what God brings us together for, primarily? Is that what's important to him? Is that the work that he is doing? Or are we missing something? Sometimes people say, oh, nothing's happening in that church. I'll go find another one. But other people will say, that's where I meet God in that place. Now, how can that be, that one person says nothing's happening and the other person says he's meeting God and God is working in his life? Well, a lot of it has to do with what you went out to hear and what you went out to see. And maybe you've come to Pilgrim Camp and you have a lot of different thoughts and ideas and desires, and maybe you've come to see friends, maybe you've come for a lot of different reasons. And many of those reasons could be good reasons. But I think that we're in danger, just like they were in the day of Jesus, of not recognizing that God is here, not recognizing what God is wanting to accomplish and what God is doing in the midst. And we need to pray, Lord, teach me. Teach me what's important to you. Teach me what you're doing, what you're after. And then help me to enter into that. We hear stories of people that sat in meetings and they said, I don't like this silence. It's just a waste of time. I get bored when the meeting gets quiet and it looks like the minister doesn't know what to do. But then they prayed, Lord, in this time of silence, help me to benefit by this. Open my eyes. Speak to me, Lord. And they found that God was in that silence. God was doing precious things for those that were open to it and receptive. And the praise as well. Oh, I don't like to praise the Lord. I feel uncomfortable. I wish that we would do something different. But then there are those that say, Lord, if you're leading the meeting into praise, then help me to enter in and receive what you are wanting to minister to me. And maybe it would do us all good, even if God has been blessing you at camp, and I'm sure he has. But maybe it would be good for us to look into our hearts and say, am I really here for the right reason? Am I here for the reason that God brought me here? God, why did you bring me to camp? What do you want to accomplish in me at this time in my life? And Lord, in the days that I have yet to be here, bring me more perfectly in line with what you're doing. I don't want to miss what God is doing. There's a danger. I can go home and miss what God was doing there and what he was offering me, but I don't have to. I can pray, open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart. What did I go to Pilgrim Camp? Why did I go there? I went to meet Jesus. I went to hear the Lord. I went to be changed and filled with his Spirit. And I found out that that's what he was there to do. And I'm so glad that I took time to just look into my heart and say, Lord, help me to lay aside my own expectations and help me to just enter into all that you have purposed in bringing me here at this time. Praise God. We'll never be disappointed if that's our approach. And so I'd like to encourage you to give yourself to God like that yet. Let's sing a song in closing. Open My Eyes. I think it's number 115. Let's stand together while we sing, and then we'll be dismissed, but for the staff who will stay on for further instruction and marching orders. 115.
Open my eyes that I
Brother Danny Schreck, will you pray with us in closing, please?
Lord Jesus, we thank you. You have such a great desire of reclaim us, Lord. We pray, Lord, you will help us to have open hearts, open minds, open eyes to you. Lord, help us. We need you so much. Lord, show us our need of you, Lord. Show us what you're wanting to do. Come to those that are here at camp, Lord, and have some time before you, Lord. Spend with you. Lord, that this time will be a time of great enrichment. And you will accomplish all that you have in your heart for each one. We thank you. We thank that you are so faithful. This is what you are. Yield ourselves to you, Lord. Expect you to come. Each and every one. Pray, Lord, that you'll watch over the camp this night, Lord Jesus. Keep us all safe. Keep all the campers safe. Pray for the meetings tomorrow, Lord, that you will bless us and draw us closer to yourself. And bless all the churches back home that are represented here.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.